you'd like to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Begin reading there in verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. In this passage, the Spirit affirms it is Jesus who came by both water and blood. I think very specifically, the water portion of this passage probably goes back to Jesus' baptism, when the Spirit descended upon him and a voice of heaven affirmed that that was the Son of God in whom God was well pleased. But further on, it says, it really specifies, if you read verse 6 again, not only by water, but by water and blood, we verify that this is Jesus, the blood that was shed on the cross. I think it is so special how there are certain symbols in Scripture that speak to us further. This morning in the opening prayer, thanks was given because Scripture speaks to us. There are times where the blood of Jesus speaks to us and it tells us things. And so we'll examine four more passages where the blood of Christ affirms Christ and it speaks to us of further things explaining his blood. It all runs together. In Hebrews chapter 9, if you turn your Bibles there, Hebrews chapter 9, you look at what it says in verse 11 through 14. Hebrews 9, verse 11 through 14. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more shall it cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? It cleansed in a way that something else could not, the blood of bulls and goats. And so it enabled us to enter and have access with God. Turn over one chapter to chapter 10. Look at what it says in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way in which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And the way in this passage that blood continues to work, it gives us access to God. In those past two passages that we just read, the blood of Christ worked as a go-between, a mediator, an arbitrator between us and God, where we did not have forgiveness of sins, where we did not have access to the holiest place. The blood of Christ did those things to, I guess, give us access to the holiest, to give us forgiveness of sins where we could not find it ourselves. It worked as a go-between between us and God. Furthermore, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. When we come in contact with the blood, and remember, we're allowing it to speak for itself, we have this passage here in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by his own blood. Jesus worked to justify us in his blood. It helps so much that Jesus was able to quell the wrath of God. That's what that word propitiation meant, and we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Not sure if we have memory to remember that. But that's the way it worked, where all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, his blood worked to appease God's wrath. I heard a story this past week, as I do like to listen to old stories, of the days where people would leave the east and travel to the west side of this country in exploration of new adventure, in exploration of new commodities, in finding out what was on the other side of our country. People would take these long, big caravans of people. And in this particular caravan, they took wagons that you would see like in a Hollywood movie with the canopy over them. But they weren't pulled by strong, fast horses, but by strong, slow oxen. And as this particular family was traveling, they noticed a forest fire from afar off. But the forest fire was faster than their caravan. Coming from the west, they had no choice but to turn back. But they didn't think that they could make it to a river or something like that, somewhere that would quell the fire. So thinking quickly, they started a fire themselves. And they pointed it towards the east from where they were running to. And they burnt down a significant portion of the forest. And so they hid actually into the burnt portion of the forest that they burnt down to save themselves from the fire that was coming from the west. And in doing so, they went to the portion that had already been quelled, that had already been burned, and they saved themselves. In a way, that is how the blood of Jesus works. Where there was an imminent wrath coming for us, but if you stand in the right place, or a place that has already been offered up, has been made for atonement, then you're safe. And in this way, if you continue reading that passage, Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by the grace through his redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Finally, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, looking at what it says in verse 8, as we've been justified by the blood of Jesus, we are also redeemed. Verse 8, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb. By the way, this Lamb had appeared as if it had been slain, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, talking about Jesus. For you were slain and have redeemed to us God, and to redeemed us to God, by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. There, very simply, says how we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In the song that we just sang, I'm not sure that the writer of that hymn had this in mind, but when it's talking about coming to take the Lord's Supper, particularly in that hymn, I think it quotes it by saying, no one is a stranger here. And certainly, coming into the contact with the blood of Christ, no one is a stranger. Everyone is welcome. Pay attention to verse 9 again. Have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. The blood of Christ is open for anyone who is willing to come in contact with it. Redeem any sinner from their ways. And I think that is so special. The blood of Christ ought to speak to you this morning. There's been times in history where blood has been used as a symbol of importance. I think if you were to go to the Smithsonian today, you could look at an exhibit of a woman's dress cuff that is very much blood-stained. And it's the dress of the woman who held Abraham Lincoln in her arms as he bled out. I'm not sure. There's probably not enough money you could pay to own that dress cuff. The height of importance that Abraham Lincoln plays in this country's history is probably, I couldn't express it. Somebody who is so instrumental for having given freedom to so many people. There's probably no price you could pay for that little piece of history. But how much more precious is the blood of Christ than that? Than any other piece of of history that speaks to us of times past. The best part about Christ's blood is that it is not restricted as other pieces of history are. We're about to partake of Christ's blood. Anyone who has come in contact with it will get to partake in its pricelessness, its invaluableness, in the sense that it has redeemed us, that it has justified us, it has given us access to God where we previously did not have access to God. So this morning, as you partake of the Lord's Supper, let the blood of Christ speak to you.